Hello, everyone, and welcome to One Control Report Podcast, episode 83. I'm Benjamin Yoder, and I'm here to talk to you today about video games. I looked around for news this week and didn't seem to find a lot of super interest, although I guess I have a few things, but I don't think it's anything that I can talk super at length about, really. The Granblue Fantasy stuff that was announced, not really announced. I think the fighting game was announced, but then the action RPG has already been announced for a while. But yeah, there's those two Granblue Fantasy games. The fighting game looks pretty neat. And then I'm always a fan of fighting games that are like casual friendly. And based off what I was reading about the what was discussed when they revealed it, basically, is that it's going to be like a easy game to jump into, basically limiting the number of combos and stuff. Which I guess could be good or bad, because I think Blade Strangers was supposed to also be like an easy game to jump into, and I felt that game felt kind of bad because of that. It was really hard to do a lot of combos in Blade Strangers. I guess there's like, thinking about fighting games, you kind of have to like play this fine line of like, you don't want to end up in situations where people get like comboed all day, because then it's like no fun. But if you like restrict the combos too much, you end up with a game that doesn't flow well unless you really know how to combo things together. I can think of a specific case where I actually did get semi-decent at a game was Castlevania Judgment, which is not a very good fighting game. Basically in Castlevania Judgment, like everything would be like kind of 2 to 3 hit combos or something like that. And you couldn't really combo too much beyond that. But if you found, like, basically, holy water would be the ultimate comboy item, and I think it was Eric Licarde and Aeon, and I think a couple other people, like, for some reason, or not really for some reason, just by coincidence with holy water, they would actually combo really well, and you could, like, burn a ton of enemy health, but it didn't flow well. I guess the point I'm trying to get to, I feel like I just kind of I didn't mean to talk about this, but here we are. I guess the point I'm trying to get to is that I feel like what matters more when you like make a game to kind of aim it towards lowest or accessible to people who aren't like, you know, super fighting games fan, is to make it flow really well. You want to be able to feel like you're doing combos, I guess, to some extent. I think of like Dead or Alive and Soul Calibur. I feel like there's times that you really can get in like a groove with those games, even if you don't necessarily know the like optimal inputs to put in. And you know, Dragon Ball FighterZ, is that I think that's the name, Dragon Ball FighterZ. I always get it confused. It's not Dragon Ball Z Fighters, it's Dragon Ball FighterZ. But yeah, Dragon Ball FighterZ, I think really did hit that point to some extent where it really did make you, as a like casual player, if you like sat there and mashed the button, you would basically pull out a whole combo. But actually, like I was saying, that's probably a perfect example, but I actually kind of ended up having problems with that game. I wrote an article about it. I think it was called like Problem Between Controller and Player or something like that. I don't remember what it was. Just look up Dragon Ball FighterZ on my website if you want to read it. I'll link it, I guess. But yeah, I wrote an article that was basically like, because I had like the semi like basic understanding of fighting games, but not like a full understanding of it, I kind of ended up in between point with Dragon Ball FighterZ, where I didn't want to, like, the auto combos didn't feel natural, but then also I couldn't combo stuff properly because I wasn't good enough. So I ended up in this weird like bubble point in between how to, are they like play styles for that game, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. I kind of threw myself down this fighting game talking pit. I probably shouldn't have done that. Anyways, Granblue Fantasy fighting game. It looks pretty neat. I think the fighting game that I'm most interested in checking out in the near future is probably the Million Arthur fighting game, and then SNK Heroines. SNK Heroines looks kind of bad, but I like some of the mechanics of it, specifically, like, it looks like you have to use, like, specials to defeat the other player, and there's, like a special meter that kind of like autofills and stuff. I don't know. It's got some interesting design decisions, but it looks like it doesn't particularly play well. Maybe flow is the thing it lacks. I don't know. I'll have to check it out sometime. But yeah. And then there's the other Granblue Fantasy, which is the fantasy action RPG thing. I think I would really enjoy that game, just like from a mechanical standpoint, but there's nothing about it that really stands out to me. And I was sitting there watching that trailer, and I'm just like, I kind of wish Platinum Games did something different more often. Like, I think Platinum Games does right now is basically they have their core, you know, action hack and slash gameplay, and then they like built out the structure around that game. So you end up with stuff like Nier Automata, which feels different than like a Bayonetta, and you know, all that stuff. Wonderful 101. Although I think Wonderful 101 feels pretty distinct versus like a Metal Gear Rising or a Wonderful 101, which are the two I played. And the Nier Automata, I played that as well. That's three. But yeah, I just sit there looking, and I'm like, I kind of wish they did something a little different than usual. I guess it is a little different. There's like a skill menu and stuff on the right side, or I guess like four face buttons for skills, I believe. I'd have to double check to really look at it. I didn't look at it super hard this morning, because I was just like, yeah, this looks about right. I'm sure it's plenty of fun to play, and like, I think the one thing I would be very excited for, or something I always feel like I'm lacking right now, is a good like dungeon crawling RPG. Something like a Phantasy Star Online or something like that, where it's just like good hack and slash dungeon crawling. And I don't feel like that's around much anymore, but I'm probably wrong about that. There's so many video games out there now, and it's, I'm sure people will be like, oh, well, here's like a 2D one. I'm like, but I want to be 3D or something dumb. I picked up Cyber Dimension Neptunia a long while ago, trying to kind of scratch that itch, but I never spent much time with it, unfortunately. I really want to. I should see how long the game is to beat. How Long to Beat is a great website. It informs so much of my gameplay stuff, because like streams particularly, because I'm like, how long is this game? Is it going to be less than 20 hours? Because I don't want to play anything longer than 20 hours for a stream game. But yeah, I kind of wish Platinum Games did a little bit more variety in their content. That being said, I still have not played their Star Fox game, which is probably the most like unique thing they've done. So I can't complain too much, considering the one game they did do different, I didn't play. So I do need to get to Star Fox Zero at some point. I should look up how much that costs these days. I really should finish out my Wii U collection, because I have a bad feeling about the Wii U. I think everyone kind of has a bad feeling about the Wii U probably going to get like fairly expensive at some point, just because the library is small enough that it's probably easier to collect for than most other consoles. I think the Dreamcast kind of fell into this pit too, where like a Dreamcast is going to be fairly more accessible to collect for versus like a PlayStation 2, because the library is like a fraction of its size. So I do worry a bit with that with the Wii U. I need to get Devil's Third as well. Buying games, there's like certain games that are like high profile in my mind of like, these games are expensive or getting expensive, and I need to decide if I need to buy them or not at some point, because it's not going to get any better, it's only getting worse. But I think I'm coming more and more to terms with like pirating games when things are very expensive. I've got a CD burner back here that I need to try to get hooked up to my PC. It's an older CD burner, so I have to figure out how to get... I forget what the connection called. It's like an IDE connection on it or something like that. I'd have to double check. I have to find a way to connect it to my current PC or a PC in some way, and see if I can burn PCFX games with that, because there's some PCFX games that are like $300. I'm like, I'm not doing that. Very fortunate. I think I mentioned this last week. I bought a copy of First Kiss Story, which is like, when I was looking online, it's like $60, and I was like, oh, but there's only like two listed. I think it was a one used for $60 and one new for like $250. And I was like, I could probably do better than this. So I always recommend them. Japan Retro Direct, Famicom Vink over there, does a fantastic job providing a lot of Japanese imports. At least in my experience, I will always say this, I don't buy that many Japanese imports, and when I do, I typically go through Vink, typically because I can find it cheaper than I online, and even if I can't find it cheaper, I just kind of want to give him my business, because, you know, he is able to get stuff as I need it. Like Aconcagua, the game, when I purchased Aconcagua, I think all the ones listed on eBay were like $40, and he got it for me for like $16. I think $15 to $20 is about right for that game. But since there's only like three or so copies on eBay at the time, people just kind of listed them for whatever, and you know, it's kind of frustrating. So he's super helpful with that, because he lives in Japan and can go and hunt down and pick stuff up. So I always recommend Japan Retro Direct. That is a great place to import old retro Japanese video games if you want to. So but yeah, I picked up First Kiss Story because there's a fighting game in it, but it's mostly a visual novel. And I would not have spent $60. I would hope, Oh no, I was tempted to spend $60 to play that fighting game. It's a mini game within the visual novel that features only three fighters. It's all right. We'll look at it at some point once I get it here and figure out how to access the fighting game part of it. The other piece of news was the Panzer Dragoon remake. Panzer Dragoon 1 and 2 are being remade, I assume for PS. Let me pull that article back up here. I'm very prepared. This is one of these last few weekends I've been a mess. I wasted all my time this weekend. I didn't prepare for this podcast very well. But yeah, it looks like it is. I don't think it's set what platforms it's coming to. But basically, they're doing a modern version of Panzer Dragoon. I'm going to guess PS4, Xbox One, PC. One of those three, if not all those three. Maybe Switch, who knows. But yeah, I did a video not too long ago about Panzer Dragoon Orta. And I really love Panzer Dragoon Orta. And inside Panzer Dragoon Orta, there's actually the PC version of Panzer Dragoon ported to the Xbox, which doesn't run particularly well. But it's for the most part, it's fine. It's like the game typically runs at 20 frames per second on a Sega Saturn, as far as I understand. The Xbox version runs at like 16 frames per second. It's a big drop, but it's playable for that kind of game if you're used to old, like, you know, 32-bit 3D graphics. Like, some of those games just run rough. Like, Ocarina of Time runs, like, reliably at 20 frames per second, I think. It's been a bit, but I believe it's 20 frames. It comes with the territory of that release thing. But I guess my problem with the original Panzer Dragoon is I played Orta first, and Orta has a lot of really neat mechanics between, like, transforming between different dragons and stuff. And then Panzer Dragoon 1 is just kind of like, it's just kind of a shooter. It has an amazing style, and I think that's probably what's going to benefit most, is just, like, the art style for Panzer Dragoon is fantastic. It's basically Nausicaa Valley of the Wind, or whatever that anime is called, but it's a great look of just, like, I'm terrible at explaining what that game is, but if you ever looked at Panzer Dragoon, go look at some of the art, go look at some of the videos, or you can watch my Panzer Dragoon Orta video if you want. Go do that. That's still on the main page of my website because I have not made videos in forever. I think there's a post from from 2017, December 27th seed for the Undead Syndrome, still on my main page because that's just like the third to last video I made. I need to get video stuff moving. Speaking of, I did work on the Mighty No. 9 video this weekend. That was actually took up a good chunk of my Saturday. It's always hard with, like, videos because the first, like, minute or two seems to always take the most just because I feel like it's so editing intensive. But yeah, I'm working on that Mighty No. 9 video. It's coming along. I'm just kind of now getting into the actual, like, gameplay part of the editing of the video. So that makes it a bit easier because I can just basically take chunks of footage and drop them in where I need to. So what I did a lot of this weekend was actually, record a lot of Mega Man games. I played a bit of Mega Man 1, 2, 3, X1, X2, and a little bit of X3, and then as well as Network Transmission and Command Mission. I think what I was most surprised when I was playing through those games, I guess just to kind of note a handful of things. One, Mega Man 3, I have completely forgotten that game. I looked at the boss list of that game and was like, I have no idea who is... I don't remember these stages. I don't remember who's weak against what. I have no idea. I was kind of surprised. I mean, I'm not a big fan of either Mega Man 2 or 3 for various reasons. But I think largely it's a reason of circumstance. I played Mega Man 9 and I played Mega Man 1. And by the time I played Mega Man 2 and 3, which I think I played them pretty close to each other, but I'd have to go back and check. 2 and 3, I think I was just kind of burnt on Mega Man at that time. I am somebody who tries to always move on to new things. And so after I played Mega Man 1 and 2, and then Mega Man 2 was actually very easy as well because the American version was dumbed down in the normal mode. You can play it on hard and it plays a lot better, in my opinion. When I played it this week to get some footage for it, I played it on hard and I was really enjoying it, actually. I was surprised. So I might actually go back to Mega Man 2 and try to finish it off again, because that's something I've always been wanting to do, because I always felt like my experience was tainted by that American difficulty mode. It just was so easy. I blasted through the game in barely any time, and I felt like I didn't really absorb any of it, but I was surprised. I actually remembered quite a bit from it. I started down the weakness path and got through like three bosses, and then just stopped myself because I had to stop because I had to move on to capture other footage. But yeah, I booted up Mega Man 3 and was just like, I don't remember any of this. Is Snake Man in Mega Man 3? I can't remember. There are so many Mega Man bosses or Rock Robot Masters. I almost said Rockman Masters. But yeah, I would like to continue to play Mega Man series. I just don't know if there's a lot left in like the original and the X series for me. It was the first time I had played Mega Man X3. And I actually did like the look of that game quite a bit. I'm not sure how to put it. Maybe it was the music more than anything. I think I'm playing the X Legacy, or sorry, the X Anniversary Collection for the PS2. And I think that's a weird version. I think it must be the PS1 version or the PC version or something like that. And so, like, there's some weird technical issues with it, I believe. There are also the issues of I use a FrameMeister, so when it goes to, like, the animated cutscenes, the game, like, clips out all the time because it's changing resolutions, and the FrameMeister is like, I need a second to figure out what I'm doing with this resolution. But yeah. And then I played Network Transmission and Command Mission. Basically, the reason I played X3, Network Transmission, and Command Mission were I needed some footage of some Mega Man games I hadn't played through yet. And so I was like, well, these are three ones I have here that I have not played. So yeah, Network Transmission is an interesting game. It feels really bad, but there's some interesting parts about it because it has like a card system. Like it's like a card game where you basically pull cards and then you have those like special skills. Like if you had a random assortment of Robot Master skills that were given to you and they had limited use and stuff, and then the next time you come back, you have another random assortment of Robot Master skills. I think that's an interesting concept. I would like to play that game a lot more. I picked it up at Portland Retro Game Expo this year. And then I think 2 years ago, I picked up Command Mission. That game is also looks kind of interesting. I don't really have anything to say about it at this time, I feel like, though. But yeah, I just played a lot of Mega Man. It was like to create a like 20-second chunk of a video, I played probably like 3 to 4 hours of Mega Man games. It took a while, but I'm always overcompensating on footage, so I record everything at this point, I feel like, and a lot of times I don't use any of it. Like, I recorded so much Hello Neighbor footage and so much. I've recorded a lot of Smash Brothers and all that stuff. Anyways, so yeah. Yeah, I guess that's all I have to say about the Mighty No. 9 thing. But yeah, it's coming along. It's not anywhere near done, unfortunately, but we'll get there. Again, things are moving slow at the moment. I thank you, everyone, for your patience. And I'll keep trying to get stuff done. I'm not going to sit here and promise anything to you guys because I feel like I keep promising stuff and I don't get anywhere near done working on it. But yeah, I've had a couple of weird weekends, too, where I've just like haven't gotten anything done either. I don't know what it is. Playing Smash Brothers Online, does it help? I started playing Smash Brothers Online a week or two ago, and that was a mistake because immediately I just play online and you don't unlock any characters when you play Smash Brothers Online. It sucks. So I've just like have unlocked maybe like two characters since I think I last talked about Smash Brothers, and and I really need to just go through and unlock everyone before I go online. But yeah, I've been enjoying the online stuff. I've seen a lot of complaints about the how the matchmaking works in that game, particularly through the quick play, because it kind of like throws a bunch of rules into a pool and then pulls out. So you can't really like queue up with people with your specific rules. It'll try to match you, but it basically just like kind of tries to put together I think it just randomizes between the two players and like what rule sets do you have. Okay, your rule set's going to be in place, your stages are going to be in place, things like that. And I actually kind of like that. I'm finding a lot of different ways people play that game. I think items always throws me off. I lose pretty much every item match. But yeah, I think the quick play stuff is interesting because you just sometimes get thrown into like free for all, no items, battlefield, and it's like this is a weird set of rules for one versus one versus one versus one, you know. and I wouldn't expect that I'd like it, but I actually did like it quite a bit. It's it's been a while since I've played a game like that. I've always played, you know, Smash Brothers either one-on-one or two-on-two. So having a free-for-all again just is kind of interesting to get back into. But otherwise, I haven't really done a lot with that game. Correction on last week. For some reason, I thought the World of Light stuff didn't carry over into the main character roster, like unlocking character in World of Light. It does carry over. I don't know what I was thinking. I noticed that before the podcast even went up, but I didn't even bother to fix it or finish it. So yeah. I did not schedule this podcast out correctly. We're going to go straight back to news. I guess I just had like a transition to Mighty No. 9 there that I could use. Although, admittedly, it is actually there on my list in that slot. I just keep like a slot of topics that I talk about. But there's one other thing I actually noticed or actually took note of this weekend. I don't know how super well known it is. I think there's a series of Famicom games that have been coming out last, I guess, like 3-4 years now, where it's basically just like a kind of a technical showcase of the system. It's usually packed with a lot of music and they have like a lot of really detailed backgrounds or things like that. I forget what they're called, unfortunately. They're not off the top of my head. But I actually recently saw there's this other thing coming out. I don't know if it's by the same people or a separate group of people or what, but it's called Rhythm Land, and there's an 8-bit and a 16-bit version of Rhythm Land. And basically one's coming out on, I believe, a Famicom cart, and the other one comes on a Mega Drive cart, as far as I can tell. Basically they're just like little rhythm mini games. There's like 4 mini games in each of them. 2 of them are the same between the 8-bit and 16-bit version, but they have different graphics. And then the other 2, I believe, are different as far as I can tell, but they're all rhythm based. So like there's a baseball game, but it's all like, you know, hitting the ball in time with the music and stuff like that. And I think I like this implementation a lot more than the previous, music games on Famicom. I'll link something in the description because I can't remember for the life of me what they're called, but I'll be able to look it up at some point. But those previous games, basically, it'd be playing music, and then you're this character moving around in this like featureless level, just completely flat. I think maybe there'd be some like blocks occasionally, but it really was just you like collect these stars that are flying around, and it was really more about showing off a technical performance from what I saw of it. I never purchased it because when I look at it, it just looked kind of frivolous, I guess, to some extent. Like, I think the music stuff is great, and I think it's a great, like, you know, novelty piece, but I think as a game, I never really could sit there and take it super seriously. And, you know, this is pretty bare bones. Again, it's just like 4 mini games in each collection, and 2 of them the same again from each collection. But they do remind me a bit more of like a Rhythm Heaven kind of thing, where it's like you have an action you're doing along with this music that is timing based. So it is something like, you know, smacking the baseballs or like putting up a shield to block shots coming in from the spaceship. One's called like Hades Run or something. So yeah, the box art for the 8-bit one is kind of eh. I think it's supposed to be kind of eh. Like, there's a lot of like I think it's like Namco sports games and stuff. Namcot is what you usually see on it, with like this very, very like simplistic kind of weird looking character art, but it's very charming, very like 80s anime looking art. It's very simple in detail. I think like Tennis on the Game Boy Advance and stuff like that had this kind of art. And so the 8-bit one, I think, is trying to be reminiscent of that. It comes off a bit too weird. It reminds me a little bit like Shin Chan. It doesn't look like Shin Chan, but it reminds me a little bit like how off Shin Chan looks a little bit, which I do like the look of Shin Chan, but as its own weird thing. And the 16-bit version has like that like super detailed like 90s anime look to it. Also link these. I'm gonna have a lot of links this week. I'm sorry if you don't look at the links, so I'll put the links in there. But yeah, it just looked kind of neat. I think compared to those previous like rhythm music, I guess like music showcases, I guess I'd call them, that were coming out for the Famicom before, I think it looks a lot more substantial than those. So I'm actually pretty interested in these, but I think they're like $70 after you do the translation, which I think is probably a reasonable price for what they are. But for me, of just like buying them and playing them, especially since I'm not like super into like the NES and Super Fam, or sorry, the NES, even the Mega Drive scene, Mega Drive and Super Famicom, like 8-bit and 16-bit systems are probably my weak point. I don't spend a lot of time with them. I grew up on a lot of them, so I don't know why I don't have as much nostalgia for it, but I guess I didn't own one, so I spent most of my time playing, like, Nintendo 64 and Game Boy stuff when I was, like, a kid when I was actually, like, dumping time into video games. So yeah. I guess I talked about that. This podcast. whenever I go back and listen to this, this doesn't sound that bad, but in the moment, it always feels like, oh, man, this is just, like, a nightmare. It's everywhere, and I'm just clicking a bunch, so that's smart. Anyways, that's gonna be it. I don't know why I'm so weird and nervous about it this week. We'll be fine. We'll be okay. No videos going up this week. I know that much. The last episode of Lost Dimension stream is up on YouTube now, and it's also on the website as well. It's like 10 minutes long, 10, 20 minutes long. I beat the game very quickly. So if you want to see the end of Lost Dimensions, I got the bad ending. Go watch the true ending, because the true ending doesn't make much sense either. I mean, it explains some stuff, but it's not very fulfilling. Lost Dimension, I kind of want to write an article about that game, just being like, man, this game could have been so much more, but it wasn't. I really liked the concept of Lost Dimension, and we just didn't get there. And I feel like I want some kind of record of that. That's not just my stream of 20 hours of me, like, slowly falling apart as we play that game. And then I spent, like, an hour and a half playing a game called Counterforce. It's also known as, like, Exus, I think. It came out in arcades, and it was, like, made by one guy, I think. It's a weird, like, if you look at the history of it, it's just, it gets ported to a bunch of systems by a bunch of different people, a bunch of companies. It's a weird thing. The Wii version is not particularly amazing, but it was fun. It was, I paid $1 for it, and it was like an on-rails shooter, basically like a pretty easy on-rails. I wouldn't say pretty easy. Yeah, it was pretty easy, but I also lowered the difficulty at some point because you only have like 3 lives, so I had to get through the entire game using the 3 lives. But yeah, it was all right. If you want to watch that stream, I think it goes up on Wednesday, because I don't have anything else going up on Wednesday, so I just decided to put it up on Wednesday. And then I was debating that being kind of like the in-between game stream, like I usually do. I usually have some game between the two big game streams, but I'm also going to play Gunstar Superheroes, I think, this Thursday, and try to beat that. I think it's only like an hour and a half, 2 hours long, so I think we'll be able to get through it. Tuesday this week, the quick play stream for Fudu Fudu Park goes up. Also not a great game. I'm excited to play Gunstar Superheroes. Also not a great game when thinking about it between, I was like, thinking about Counterforce and then Fudu Fudu Park. It's probably a worse game than Counterforce. I wish Fudu Fudu Park was good. Fudu Fudu Park has a great presentation. It's really cute. It looks nice. It looks like it could have been a really good, like, Taito arcade, like, reimagining compilation of Wii minigames, and it just doesn't become that. It's very, very repetitive. If you want to go watch that, that's going up on Tuesday. And then quick play stream for this week. We'll keep the Wii train going, and we'll do Onslaught. It's like a WiiWare shooter, so that'll be our quick play stream game this week. Anyways, thanks for listening. I think the plan right now is for the PCF Xmas stream. That's going to be on Christmas Eve. Yeah, so that's going to be Monday. So I'm glad I mentioned it now, because it will have happened by next Monday. So if you want to watch the PCF Xmas stream, I believe it's happening on Monday, but I'll update I'll post it on Twitter if it doesn't happen on Monday for some reason. Thanks for listening to this very rambly episode. It's almost 30 minutes. Hopefully next week I have my mind together. and hopefully I have more progress. Again, this weekend it's in general has been kind of weird. So hopefully we'll get back on track. 2018 back on track. It's gonna feel good. And I hope you have a good week. Bye. Oh, I keep forgetting onecontrollerport.com. That's my website. You should go there if you don't. There's nothing on there right now. If you haven't been there before, there's a lot of content. But if you go there, all right, there hasn't been a lot of updates. So, yes. All right. Goodbye.